I'm Michelle Clemen.
And I'm Andrea Ford.
And this is the first episode of
Black Girls Vibe.
So we want to welcome you all to our first show. Just to give you some background on us, we are two Black professional women who are friends. We're also sports and lifestyle consumers, and we call ourselves experience curators. So this podcast is about us sharing our unique perspectives on our experiences, specifically around sports, travel, and a bunch of other stuff. But before we get into the substance of the podcast, we thought it'd be helpful to let you all know a little bit about us and our friendship. So, Andrea, I think we met in like late 2011?
I think so. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I remember there being, I think it was around May timeframe.
It was around his birthday.
It was around, oh no,
December.
It was the dinner. That's
yes,
right. It was
yes.
The birthday. It was the dinner. No, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
So yeah, that was the first time. So that was 2011.
Yeah. And so it turned out Andrea and I met through a mutual friend who was having a birthday party in December of 2011. And it turned out like we had a bunch of people in common. We're members of the same sorority. And I'm from Birmingham, and Andrea went to school in Birmingham, and so I ended up knowing a lot of her line sisters and a lot of folks who came to her chapter. So it was kind of crazy that, frankly, we hadn't met before December of 2011. And we've known each other about 7 years. I would say we really connected and bonded about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
and
that's about right.
That's about right. And it's also ironically around the same time that we started attending sports events together.
Right.
So I'm not sure how we didn't kind of come across those first 3 years. I'm not sure how sports didn't play into many of our conversations.
No.
Like, at all.
I know. And it's now trying to think about what did we talk about.
I don't
those
know
early
because
years?
It's hard to imagine now us not talking about
I know.
Sports. Like, what would that like? There would just be dead air on our calls. So, I mean, in fact, we're sitting here doing this podcast and the Cincinnati Bengals, Kansas City Chiefs game is actually on in the background. So sports is always around for us in some way. So that's a little background on how we became friends and what our friendship is about. So I'm going to kick it over to Andrea so she can tell you a little bit about herself.
Yeah. So I am a Huntsville, Alabama native. And just kind of grown up around just kind of a sports-centered family. Uncles, father played sports, and so it was just kind of natural for me and my siblings to do the same. And so sports, and then just kind of growing into, I was in the band, danced for a little bit, but all of that just kind of culminated into, I think, what is now the love that I've continued to have for different sports. So I played softball for a really long time.
Okay.
Was not really good at a couple of other sports, basketball included. But when you grow up in a basketball-centered family.
Yeah, and Andrea, for the people who can't see you, tell us how tall you are.
So I'm 5'9½".
Right.
And so when people see me, they automatically think, oh, you play basketball.
Right.
And I immediately tell them I did, but not very well. So softball just kind of stuck and, you know, tried a couple other different sports, volleyball, ran track, but just played softball the longest. And one of my first, I guess, early sports memories, in addition to just, you know, watching my dad and my uncles and things play, was we would watch the Atlanta Braves quite a bit. Because,
okay.
Again, growing up in Alabama, there's, you know, we don't have our pro teams. And so I remember we would watch the Atlanta Braves. So those early 80s, mid 80s Braves. And then actually came over to Atlanta to visit family and would try and get to a couple of Braves games at the old Fulton County Stadium. So that's kind of like the first memory that I have of sports.
Okay.
And it's just kind of grown from there. And it's evolved into sports that I played and then just watching other sports. So now I watch a lot of tennis and golf and, you know, just other sports.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a fan. But you know, you have your favorite athletes and your favorite stars, and you learn the game, which I have done, or at least to some extent.
Sure, you have.
In the fandom.
You're pretty knowledgeable, I'd say. I feel like you're pretty not more knowledgeable than I am on sports.
That helps when your father is a retired girls basketball coach. So, and my dad played basketball and softball or baseball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah. So I think all of that to say is a lot of the adult experiences I've had have stemmed from the love of sports and just kind of, you know, offsets from that, which has been good.
And not that it's a driver for the show, but what do you do to pay the bills?
So, because fandom sometimes does not pay the bills.
That's right.
Does not. So I am currently in transportation. I did go to school, as Michelle mentioned, at UAB. Graduated there with a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. Worked for a few years in roadway design. Then decided I wanted to get outside a little bit, move away from the computer, and did another master's degree at Georgia Tech in city and regional planning. And so that's just kind of been the path that I've taken in transportation and environmental. And somewhere along the lines in grad school, decided that I had a real strong interest in real estate development. And so I am 3 classes away from finishing a second and probably final master's degree in real estate development at Georgetown. So the transportation and being in transit, public transportation in the Atlanta region is what pays the bills.
Well, that's what must happen.
Yes.
So, yes. Oh, that's awesome. So I grew up in Birmingham, and my aunt is a huge football fan. And she was a huge Cowboys fan back in the 80s. So, and I spent, you know, next to my parents, my aunt was kind of one of my primary caregivers. Mm-hmm. So, I grew up watching tons of Sunday NFL football, particularly anytime the Cowboys were on or anytime the 49ers were on. And so that's where my love and interest for, I think, football comes from. I know it comes from, but we're both children of the 80s. And it was hard to be a child of the 80s who was into sports, watch sports, and specifically watch the NBA, and didn't get caught up in the Lakers-Celtics rivalries. I mean, I remember those from back in the day. And so I've watched NFL and NBA throughout my life. Unlike you, Andrea, I did not grow up watching baseball. Like, the older people in my family were huge baseball fans. Mm-hmm. And understandably, like, given the history of it, I understood that. But it wasn't something that really I've taken to. I mean, that's something that's more or less blossomed for me as an interest, kind of through our friendship, and your interest in it has made me more aware. And now I feel like I know I'm much more knowledgeable about baseball than I would have been, say, 5 years ago. I played some sports, more on the recreational side. I mean, in like elementary school, I played volleyball. I played softball for like a neighborhood team when I was like 9 or 10 or 11, somewhere in there. Played volleyball intramurally and in law school. And I played basketball. I mean, I got my first basketball goal when I was like 6.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was a fairly decent shooter at a very young age.
Okay.
But I just never had handles. Like, I was a great shooter. I was always out on the perimeter. Dish me the ball. If I'm dribbling, I'm in distress. So you never wanted that. You wanted me to put up the 3-pointer.
Oh, I was posted under the goal.
You were posted because of your height.
Straight up in the air.
Right, right, right. So, you know, basketball has been the sport that I both played and watched throughout my life. People get a kick out of this, especially people who didn't know me when I was in high school. I used to be a fairly decent hip-hop dancer, and so all my Ramsey folks that are listening to this, especially the class of 92, they're probably somewhere laughing at me right now. How I've paid the bills over the last 20 or so years. I am an attorney. I am also an athlete development specialist, having recently gotten a master's in sport management from the University of Florida. I got my undergraduate degree from Yale in history sometime in the 90s. I also got a degree from Columbia Law School in the late 90s. And so I've spent the last 20 years doing a number of things, including practicing law, being an executive in management, both from an HR perspective and an operational perspective. I've worked for profits, I've worked for nonprofits, and right now I currently own my own sports consulting and HR consulting services firm, the Clement Consulting Group. And so that's how I pay the bills.
All right.
So with that having been said, you've learned a little bit about me, you've learned a little bit about Andrea and our friendship. We thought in this first episode, what we would do is talk about, like, we've probably attended, what, over 20-something sports events or so?
It's been quite a bit over the last 4 years.
Quite a few over the last couple of years. Yep. And so there's some that stand out for us, and so we thought we'd share some of those events and some of the stories behind them. So the most memorable, Andrea, what's been the most memorable sports events we've attended?
So it's not too difficult to say. And the list of events that we've attended, I mean, it runs the gamut,
From
all types of sports and all venues. But since you and I are both, shall we say, Alabama fans,
we shall say that.
I think for me, the most memorable was winning that national championship game this year.
That's right.
At the Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
In Georgia, against Georgia.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was definitely a beautiful and memorable moment. I don't know at this point what could.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine anything topping it. I mean, I just remember the fans on both sides went through the range of emotions throughout that night. But that euphoria that washed over that stadium for Bama fans when Tua on what, 2nd and 26?
Yes, after he had been sacked.
Sacked.
So many yards
were lost. So yeah, that's definitely my most memorable. So for you, most interesting.
Most interesting. Okay. So I would think, let me see, and I'm going across our list and going through my mind of all of these between the football and the basketball and baseball, and we've managed to get some tennis in there.
We've gotten some tennis in. Yeah, we've gotten pro football, pro football, college football. Have we gotten any college basketball in? I don't think
we have.
Isn't that crazy? So I'll say, while you're looking through your list, I'll say for me the most interesting was probably that Falcons preseason game we went to last season. I think they were playing the Cardinals.
I believe
it might have been the first preseason game at the Benz at the new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall, because it was 17, it was a year into Colin Kaepernick's stand against systemic oppression, racial oppression in this country. And Andrea and I had I'll put it like this. Maybe I had the idea and Andrea embraced it. I'll own it. Like, we had the idea to wear Colin Kaepernick jerseys to this Falcons Cardinals game. And yeah, we got looks the whole day, basically, from the time we put them on. Because we were very deliberate. I think we had gone out to brunch and didn't wear them, but put them on like before we went to the game. So, but there was one that we had a specific incident that occurred once we were in the stadium and headed to our seats. And I'll punt it over to Andrea because it's really her story more so than it is mine.
Yeah, because I think had you kind of like gone to,
I was standing there, but my back was just to you. I just wasn't facing the action, so to speak.
And so we're just standing in this space, just minding our own business, and this wonderful gentleman.
Older gentleman.
That's a very appropriate word. It's passing by and he just stops to make a very lovely comment about the fact that, and I quote, "I don't like your shirt."
Out of nowhere. Just got in her face with it.
And so it kind of took me aback and was just like,
did he just say that? Did he say it to me in public?
To me and then about what I'm wearing. And I think I may have uttered the same remark.
You just told him you didn't like your shirt. I mean, you don't like my shirt.
And I don't even recall the shirt. But.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was ridiculous. But, you know, very much an eye-opening experience. And, you know, I do recall, like, the good part that came out of that was that the staffers who were around and kind of saw it from a distance immediately approached us, immediately asked what had happened, what was wrong, and were kind of protective of us until we went and got into our seats. So that was definitely the most interesting for me. Anything else rank up there for you?
No, I think that one probably
that's tops. That's tops. What's been your favorite venue?
So, and I think the U.S. Open experience is just...
generally speaking.
It's kind of bucket list to try and get to any of the Grand Slam matches. But attending a Grand Slam at Arthur Ashe, it's top venue.
It's, yeah. It ranks up there. The whole fan experience, it's clear they're very deliberate about it, right?
Yes.
Like from... The shopping opportunities you have when you get there. There's a special U.S. Open cocktail
right.
that neither one of us recalls actually getting, but it's been like the annual cocktail for God knows how long now.
For a number of years.
But yeah, they're really deliberate about the experience. And if you're someone that's used to going to an NFL game or any type of collegiate game, either basketball or football, it's just a different experience for sure.
It is. And I think we... was it a Sunday night?
It was a Sunday night, the Sunday going into Labor Day.
Yep, and evening match.
Evening.
So yeah, there's something about being at Arthur Ashe.
Under the lights,
yeah. Under the lights.
And I think Joker, we got to see Joker play.
We did. So it was good. I think that was my favorite venue so far.
I think so too. Any least interesting or any experiences that fall kind of low on the list of...
Yeah, there are a couple that come to mind,
okay.
And I think it's, you know, it's probably situational more so than
right. Totally.
any type of negative against who and what I'm about to mention.
Okay.
But if you recall, we made a nice little trip out to LA.
I do recall that.
There's all this talk about the LA Live.
LA Live, Entertainment District.
Entertainment District, all the shops and restaurants.
Right,
and
do that before the game. Like,
exactly.
Hit the district before you go to the Lakers or Clippers game or what have you.
Right. And so we did that. And it was, you know, it's one of the things you do when you're in LA.
Right.
And so we happened to catch a preseason Clippers Kings.
Which may, you know, this very situation. This is where it gets situational.
Yeah. So that just, again... preseason Clippers Kings. I think
I don't know that we need to say much more than that.
Again, I think situational, but that's probably my lowest ranking.
Yeah, and I think for me, I would agree with you. And for me, I think it was maybe I should have managed my expectations more, like knowing it was the Kings and the Clippers preseason and all that. Like I probably should have dialed down my expectations a bit. So, but yeah, I would agree with you that. I don't know. That underwhelmed is probably the best way to describe how I felt coming out of that experience. Are there any other experiences that we haven't covered that you think are worth mentioning?
Oh gosh.
We've gone through quite a few. I'm looking at the list here. My first SEC game was that UAB, it was our first game that we
right.
went to together, and it was UAB, University of Alabama at Birmingham, versus Mississippi State at Starkville, and so that was my first experience with the Cowbells.
Same here.
And it was a lot. I remember was it Labor Day weekend? It was like early September.
Yes.
And it was like hot,
yes.
hot
yes.
there.
And to have had a sibling who graduated from Mississippi State
Hill
and
State.
Did not share, and I have other relatives as well, didn't share the same passion for the cowbells.
For the cowbells. It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
And didn't they have the cannons?
They also had cannons that we were seated near.
Yes.
Which made, you know, nerves all a little bit more rattled. But yeah, I mean, it is up there amongst memorable experiences, if nothing else for that reason alone. And I guess an interesting point to add at this point is that Andrew and I both have family from that part, generally, of Mississippi. So, you know, it kind of felt cool to be near where I know my dad's people were from. So
exactly.
That's what also made it memorable as well.
Very true.
So I think that's probably all we're going to cover this week, but on this podcast. Next time we join you guys, we got a couple of events we're going to talk to you about. We recently attended an Atlanta United match at the Benz. They played the Chicago Fire. It was the last regular season game before they head into the playoffs. I think their first playoff match is back at the Benz on, I think I heard them say, November 11th.
That sounds right.
And we'll get into that in our next podcast. And also, we are going to talk about the Magic City Classic, which is a big rivalry game between the two largest HBCUs in Alabama, Alabama State, which is located in Montgomery, and Alabama A&M, which is located in Huntsville.
On the hill,
and it's in Birmingham. It's at Legion Field, and it's a big deal. It's happening this upcoming Saturday, October 27th. So we're gonna get back with you all once the classic has happened, and we'll report out on that. In the meantime, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.
Yes, we will.
Bye.
Bye.